0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. On a big night of European action in Glasgow, Celtic welcome Stuttgart in the Europa League as the title race goes on the back burner for now. They'll also get the full Broomloan stand, 7,500 tickets or so for the Scottish Cup tie at Ibrox when it comes around. And speaking of the Cup, 10-man Aberdeen knock 9-man Motherwell out of the competition to complete the lineup for the next round. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Partick Thistle's man of many clubs, Tony Watt, and Gordon DL.
Yeah, as you rightly say, the 23rd of May is now a wipeout for me after Motherwell losing the Scottish Cup last night. I had my big day, all looking forward to that.
All what about us?
Yous are out in the next round. I've seen your squad.
Did you have the 24th cleared for the bus parade as well?
Exactly, up Pebbles Road like the last time. But congratulations to Aberdeen, eventful game. But all eyes are on Celtic Park tonight against Stuttgart at home. Packed house there, great atmosphere. Celtic will be looking to get a good lead going over to Germany. And then once again, we're back to the thrill of the league campaign at the weekend. Saturday and Sunday, can't wait for it.
It's all happening. How many more headlines do you want? John Souter signed a new contract. I didn't mention that. There is a lot going on for a Thursday in late February, Tony Watt.
Yeah, good signing for Rangers. Scottish boy knows the club now. He's been there for a few years, steady in defence, and they have looked solid since he's came back and made a partnership with Fernandes. The Sunday, I know we're a few days past it, but the title race going into this weekend, everything matters now. It was one of the best days of Scottish football I'd seen, obviously Celtic last minute winner, and then Hearts and Rangers was an unbelievable advert for Scottish football. Anybody watching that must obviously tune in for the last kind of 10 games of the season, so no, it's exciting.
0141 951 1025, let's hear from you because there is so much to get through tonight. Are you on your way to Celtic Park? Let's hear from you there. All your thoughts ahead of that game. It's game day, so we do the. Do you think you'll win? Have you got fears? What should your team be? What would you pick, Celtic fans? Last night and the night before, a real mix on the phones. I remember lots of callers phoning in to say that this is Europe. Celtic should thrive in Europe. They should be all in. This should become as much of a priority. Then we had other callers who were labelling it as a distraction in amongst the title race. So how do you feel tonight, now that game day is upon you? Maybe you're heading along or setting up to watch it at home. All your pre-match thoughts, please. Team selection, everything else that goes with it. 0141 951 1025. There are few topics that get everyone going on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, like ticket allocations. It has been decided Celtic will get about 7,500, the full Broomloan end for the Scottish Cup tie. It is shy of the 20% that can be claimed in the Scottish Cup, but it is obviously a lot more than what we've been used to in recent times. Compromise is not the word that often gets used with that rivalry, but it does seem to have been somewhat of a compromise. Does that mean it will please everybody? Absolutely not, and that's why we're here. So 0141 951 1025. Motherwell and Aberdeen fans, you were clearly invested in the game last night, but it feels like everyone else was as well, because we're back to VAR and Dogzo and John McGinn tweeting about it, and there was a lot going on with the disciplinary side of things last night. Motherwell down to 10 men after 3 minutes. They then made it 9 men later on. Aberdeen had a man sent off in between, but ultimately the much fancied Steelmen are out and the cup holders are through. So again, 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, John Souter signed a new deal. Is that a thumbs up or a thumbs down for you? Is that a good idea? Would you have rather headed in a different direction? All your thoughts, please, on that usual number. Happy with that? A lot to get through?
Yeah, a lot to get through, Gordon. Never a dull moment now, and there won't be a dull moment leading up to the end of the season. I mentioned it there, 23rd of May, Scottish Cup final. Just excitement. We looked at Pittodrie last night. Everybody, I think, fancied Motherwell after beating them at Fir Park at the weekend. But all credit to Aberdeen. They got the job done, and they've got a good tie. East End Park against Dunfermline, they'll fancy that.
When your stream finally caught up with those red cards about midnight last night, were you angry? Were you angry like the Motherwell fans? There's been a lot said about those reds from out with Motherwell fans as well.
I thought the first one's very unfortunate. You know, Priestman, he slips, but The rules are there. I don't know, is it getting to the ball? That's a big question. I've heard one or two guys.
Stick your neck out.
I think
a red but unlucky, is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, but I don't, I'm going to be honest here, and I've seen it now, and I've seen it Falkirk, we've seen it, what was the other one, Celtic, was it Celtic and Hearts?
Dundee United.
And it's been the same, and I watched it last night. I don't think that's a red card.
No.
I do think the Aberdeen one's a red card.
I think right? Most people, yeah.
People will agree with that. But last night, I just think when you see it running live, you think, no, it's not for me. What happens is when they go over and the referee sees it on the screen, it's that freeze image, still image you get. And it looks like, oh, hold on a
it
minute
makes
here.
It 10 times worse.
100%.
And if you look at something over and over again, you can be convinced, even if it's not the correct call.
Yeah, I thought that was unlucky. For me, that was a yellow. I thought that was the right decision on field.
01419511025. That's the number you need. Loads happening this evening, so please do get in touch. Tony Watt and Gordon Dalziel, please do come on down. Big night at Celtic Park as well. So I think, can we cross over there? Can we go live to Celtic Park and set the scene?
Clyde One Super Scoreboard coverage of the European knockout rounds with South Lanarkshire Leisure and Culture. Feel better with an all-inclusive membership, gym, swim and more.
I don't mind complete honesty here, right? So I think it's important. I love our listeners so much. I want to be honest at all times. The reason I sort of worded it like that and hedged my bets, I don't know which one of our reporters is at Celtic Park.
I would go Gabs.
Is that unprofessional of me? Probably. I just can't remember.
Gabs, I'm
surprise
going Gabs.
Me. Yeah. Go on, reveal yourself like the Masked Singer.
It's Gabriel Antoniazzi here at a rainy Celtic Park. Gordon Dalziel is correct, and we are here for some knockout European football and Martin O'Neill's 1,000th game as a manager. I don't think anyone would have thought he'd reached that milestone after spending 6 years out of the game. He's answered Celtic's call not once, but twice this campaign, as we all know. O'Neill is unbeaten since his second return to the club. He's only lost once in 18 matches across the two spells this season. Celtic have won 5 in a row. They've had 3 huge last-minute goals in their last 3 matches. O'Neill seems to have the magic touch at the moment, but how long will it last? Progression here would have fans dreaming of another run to the final in this competition, just like in 2003 when it was O'Neill who took them to Seville. And O'Neill was in charge when they last won a European knockout tie after Christmas, 22 years ago. So long for a club of this size. Speaking at yesterday's presser, O'Neill claimed that this would be the toughest match all season that he's faced. Of course, they're up against Stuttgart. They finished well above Celtic in the league phase of this competition. The Bundesliga side have won 5 of their last 6. They're in the Champions League last campaign, and they're on course to reach that competition again this time round. And they have several German internationals amongst their ranks. At team news for Celtic, the biggest absence will probably be Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, who's not in the European squad. Of course, he joined as a free agent just after that deadline. He's not in alongside some other new signings are Jolyn Vuca, Benjamin Arthur, and of course the long-term absentees remain injured, with Arne Engels the latest to join key players on the sidelines. Bring you the lineups when they come, Gordon, at around 6:45.
And until then, Celtic fans, you tell us, who do you want to see start? We had lots of criticisms of Rio Hatate as an example on last night's show, but Arne Engels is injured. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's ineligible. So what does that midfield look like tonight? And is there anything else you want to see? Maybe some of you are fancying resting players and putting all your eggs in the Premiership title race basket. I don't know. You tell me on that number, please. But Michael will kick us off. Michael, now that it's here, I know everybody's obsessed with the title race, but what are you thinking about Europe tonight?
Well, good evening. Thanks for putting us through. And Tony, hello there. Dazzler, I was in your company many years ago in the Masonic Club in Burnbank. I was up singing doing the Mick Jagger routine. I think you bought me a pint, but it's many years ago. But you were good company.
I don't recall that one, Michael.
I'm gassing under the bus.
Anyway, right, back to the point. Tonight, I think
Mike was a Celtic fan, to be fair.
Stuttgart. I think they're a very, very good German team, fourth in the Bundesliga. I think they'll be too strong for us in the midfield. Big, strong guys, and maybe just cut through us a bit. Should be a great game, but I think we'll lose 2-1. But I hope not, but that's what I think.
Oh, well, you don't have to kick off with a positive prediction. Gordon, I think the theme... Look, specific scoreline predictions are great, but the kind of theme this week that we've had running through is what does this mean, you know, to Celtic? How, not how seriously are they taking it? Because of course they're taking it seriously, but it's rare they would go in to a European tie third in the table. That's the reality of it. So what does that mean? What does it do? Does it change anything?
Not for me. I know Celtic fans will be looking at the league and it's so important to them. Of course it is. But clubs like Celtic and Rangers want to compete in Europe. And you just can't pick and choose which seasons you want to do it, Gordon. You're in the Europa League. Yes, it's got to be difficult against Stuttgart. You've got a home tie tonight. There'll be a packed house there. We know under the floodlights and everything about the atmosphere at Celtic Park. I think Celtic could put a performance on and then see where it takes them. But I think you've got to concentrate in just one game at a time. It's all cliche. Yes, the league is so, so important. I've got a big game at the weekend, Sunday against Hibs, which has got to be a hard game. But tonight is all about the Europa League. And you are in Europe. You've got to concentrate on it. So I think it's a strong side, as strong as Martin O'Neill can pick. It'll be interesting to see who he does put out there in the starting 11. But I think it'll be a difficult game. But I think Celtic's one of those teams that, would you be surprised if they went over there with a lead? I probably wouldn't.
Yeah, I was thinking about it this morning, and if there's anybody Celtic would want to be in charge, especially after recent history, it'd be Martin O'Neill. He's shown he could go away and win a game away from home. I think it'll be a tough ask, just due to how they've been playing. They've limped over the line the last three games I've seen, being at Kilmarnock, Livingston and Dundee. I think there's big changes needed in the starting 11. I think the shape maybe needs to change as well. For me, I watched it on Sunday, was it, against Kilmarnock? And I think Negrin is so valuable to the team in terms of goals, but his overall play needs to probably be a bit sharper. I would get him next to Kvanchara. I would put two wingers and I would get somebody next to Cal McGregor to kind of share the load, because I feel like Celtic are leaving gaps everywhere. I think they need to be a wee bit more defensive but get a lot of attacking players on the pitch.
Michael's not so confident. Gordon, it's a bit more limited tonight, as we said, though, because Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain isn't in the squad and Arnie Ingles is injured. So does he stick with Reo Hatate, who got hooked at half-time and got an all manner of criticism on the show over the last couple of nights? Because what are your alternatives? Paolo Bernardo from relatively nowhere. Mm-hmm. Luke McCowan.
Look, on his game, Hatate is the best. There's no doubt about that, but he showed absolutely nothing. He's had a poor, poor season. Under Martin O'Neill in the first spell, I thought he looked really sharp again. He's just went off it. He's off the boil. Celtic fans are starting to go on his back a little bit, rightly so. He's not performing to the levels that he should be. Me personally, I would probably still go with Hatate and keep my fingers crossed that this is the night it could spur him on, because he's got that big atmosphere, yeah. Difficult game at home. I just think, you know, Europa League, I just think maybe that could be this thing that spurs him on. So I would probably take the gamble again, going, right, okay, we'll go with him, because on his game, and you mentioned the other two, Hatate is the best player, no doubt. Yep.
Mm. But on his game, that might be the big
caveat. Yeah, that is your problem.
All right, thank you, Michael, who's not so confident. James and Kulsaith, are you as pessimistic, James, or can you see Celtic doing the business tonight? How do you feel about Europe now?
Yeah, I feel very confident about tonight. And the reason why I feel confident is because of Martin O'Neill. Martin O'Neill has, you know, he's proved that the game in Feyenoord, he went over there, everybody expected him, especially Hugh Keevans, expected him to get scudded, and they won. They went to Bologna, had the man sent off, and played for an hour with 10 men, and Martin O'Neill's got these players playing for him and wanting to play. And I think if the crowd gets behind Celtic tonight, then I think that will be the difference. And I think they could win. It won't be a big win, you know. It won't be a 5-0 or anything like, you know. But I don't 1-0, 2-1. They could take a lead over to Germany. I'm quite confident in that.
Is there something about Europe this season maybe that is bringing out something slightly better in Celtic? Have some of their better performances been there? This is a conversation we used to have about Rangers all the time. Yeah. And is it about the space? Is it about low blocks and all that stuff? But whether it's that or something else, has Europe been a bit kinder to Celtic this season?
Yeah, definitely. The kind of second half of the campaign, the first half of the campaign wasn't great. I think at Celtic Park, with a big atmosphere, it's so easy to get yourself pumped up. but it's the Livingstons at home, Dundee at home, that they probably struggle with now because of confidence. I think tonight, I don't know who I'd play in the middle of the park. I don't know if I'd go Rio Hatate. For me, his head just doesn't look in it. I think, obviously, there was rumours that a move to Brazil happening, and you see, oh, I just
who would you go with then now?
It's the only country you've not played in as well, so that would be...
That's two. James, a bit of cause, by the way. I might have a few more countries left in me, you never know. Brazil sounds all right with the carnival. I'd go more a defensive-minded. Is Paulo Bernardo ready? I don't know, but I would have two in there. I'd have somebody next to McGregor and let them rat about together, because
My worry for Celtic tonight is I fancy Celtic to score. I think they can score, especially at Celtic Park. After watching their performance, I'm a bit concerned about the back line.
But again, that's kind of what I was getting at, though. Those two have had so much praise in Europe and deservedly so. But then to be fair, maybe those nights have been a bit more backs to the wall.
Yeah,
you know, it seems to be when the game moves from end to end. See if Celtic are attacking, then they have to defend. It feels like that's maybe where Austin Trusty gets.
I'm not just pointing the finger at those two. Look, I think Schmeichel's been a top class goalkeeper, of that there's no doubt, but there's a mistake written all over him just now. So I think it's got to be a big night. You're right, Gordon, Stuttgart is different coming to Celtic Park. They'll fancy it. Fancy it tonight. They won't just sit there like a lot of teams do in the Premier League and try and hit the break. They've got decent enough players. They've got good quality in their team. So it might be an open game. I think Celtic will need to get off on the front foot quickly, get that crowd up, everything, get the atmosphere going. I think Celtic can score. My worry is I don't know if they can keep a clean sheet.
James, everything else seems to be viewed through the lens of the title race, but are you happy that just goes in the back burner, you know, all the eggs in the European basket tonight and see how far he can go?
Yeah, well, I'm one of the old time. I was around when they won the European Cup in 1967. And I'm one of the old time. I want to win every game, you know. I don't think they should be saying, you know, we'll sacrifice this, we'll sacrifice a cup tie. But I think they should, Celtic, smart than you'll say to yourself, you're out there to win every game, you know. And they're in the tournament, so why not have a go at it?
Absolutely. Thank you very much to James and Kilsyth. Let's squeeze in Mark and Springburn as well. That's one of each, Mark, a pessimist and an optimist amongst the Celtic fans. Where are you?
I'm actually a pessimist, right, mate. I think I maybe watch this behind the couch, to be honest.
Not bad.
I think this might just be a wee step too far, they're sitting fourth in the Bundesliga, you know, so your name obviously when you're competing in that league, you know. So the worry for me is, I always think Celtic have got a goal in them, but I think trying to keep a clean sheet tonight's a hard ask.
Does requiring the last minute winners recently, is that part of your thinking? Do you think, you know, those performance levels have not been convincing you?
You can't keep playing like that every week, you know. It's like your heart's in your mouth sometimes when you're watching them, you know, with last minute winners. Don't get us wrong, it's exciting and it's a good time to score a goal, you know. So it doesn't give the opposition much time to get back in it again, but you know, it's not good for the heart rate, I don't think.
A few people, though, have been saying the Martin O'Neill factor, he knows what it takes. It's his 1,000th game tonight. What do you give any weight to that?
Yeah, a wee bit. I suppose he does seem to get the best out of the guys. I don't know how he does it, but he seems to get a tune at them, you know. But like I say, it's just defensively, I think we're a bit ropey, you know. We're always going to concede goals, you know, but Celtic of old used to be, well, if you score three, we'll score four, you know, but you can't play every game like that, you know. So you need to keep a clean sheet sometimes, you know, and then that breeds a bit of confidence in everybody, you know. So, but my main point actually tonight was, guys, and I don't know if yourself and Gordon Dale's going to like this, but I think your Motherwell man could be a contender for the Celtic job.
I know, he got papped out the Scottish Cup last night. People will need to stop looking at him now. That was a slipper.
You'd be lucky to keep his Motherwell job the way he's gone.
So that's not put you off, you James, no? Hey, Mark, sorry, that's not put you off.
No, you see, I've not seen much of Motherwell, but what I have seen of them, they're exciting, they're on the front foot, they want to go and attack, you know, so... I would be very open to it, you know. We'll put it this way: it couldn't be any worse than Mr. Nancy.
Yeah, but then, I'm not sure that's. I don't know if that's the job requirements going to be. please don't be as bad as Wilfried Nancy. Anyway, thank you to James and then Mark. It's 01419511025. Europe tonight, Scottish Cup last night, ticket allocations, John Souter's contract. There are loads of topics tonight, so jump in. We'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Tony Watt are here. 01419511025. Get in touch. So many topics to choose from this evening. And if we've not mentioned one but you want to, that's perfectly allowable as well. Let's go to Wilbur, who's on the line. Hi, Wilbur.
How you doing, Gordon?
I'm good. How are you? What made you call tonight?
Well, it's Gordon and Tony. How you doing, guys?
How you doing?
Hi, Dermot.
So I've got a table of Motherwell stalwarts here. from last night's game, two sendings off. I thought that Oscar's sending off was wrong because the guy slipped. He had no intention of causing any harm to the player. And with Liam Gordon's, I was actually 50-50 on that because I thought that Liam lifted his leg. But at the same time, there have been other examples of such fouls during the season where a foul has been given and no yellow cards or red cards. You know?
It's interesting. I thought most Motherwell fans would go the other way around, but everybody's entitled to their opinion because I know where Wilbur's coming from, and that's maybe it's a kind of older school mentality of intent. You know, Oscar Pre- I mean, he's not even tackled. He's slipped. He's not even tried to get into a tackle. He's trying to track the run. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately for Wilbur and for Oscar Priestman, mm-hmm. the kind of notions around intent were taking out the rules a long time ago to try and make it kind of easy, because you'll never know what a player's trying to do, really. So I think the only thing that can get Oscar Priestman off the hook,
if he's not getting the ball,
is if you think Lyle Cameron's not getting the ball, or the goalie's definitely getting it. Other than that, don't get me wrong, you can say it's one of the unluckiest red cards you will ever see, because like I said, he's not even making it. He has just slipped over. But he does obviously then bring down Kevin Nisbet. So is it denying a goal scoring opportunity?
Yeah, if the ball's there, yeah. Because Nisbet's in the middle of the goals, isn't he, really? And if He jumps that tackle. He's in one-on-one with the goalkeeper, so I totally understand. It is one of the most unluckiest.
So unlucky, isn't it? Are you devastated at that if you're a player?
Yeah, I've seen it before in the penalty box where somebody's maybe chopped. The players tried to get their foot in, slipped and took them out as well. And as much as you're like, oh, the slip's killed you, and it's a red card for me.
I mean, it's 3 minutes in as well. Oh. Not that, again, the rules are rules and all that, but it's 3 minutes in.
Imagine up there as a player, getting your mono in the last 3 minutes.
You're travel the night before, the full day, preparing, eating your pre-match, stepping out to the pitch 3 minutes in, don't go up there.
You'll get your gear back on. But I think the big question one is the second one, right? I think the referee has got a great position in that, and he can see that live. And I think he realised that. I think the defenders can get there.
Yeah,
right. I really do. But obviously, VAR decides, look, have another look at it, and that's what VAR's there for.
I think what we're seeing now is that there's clearly a consistency there. That's very similar to Falkirk at the weekend, mm-hmm. isn't it? Against Dundee United, yeah. That one. People keep mentioning Trusty. I think Kabori's a lot closer to the goal than they two. Last night and the weekend are on the halfway line, so they feel like the best two to compare.
And the defenders with the Trusty one, well, the other side, the Motherwell defenders are closer to the goal for me.
But they are wide.
Yeah, they're wide. But if you put a race, bear in mind, Olesanya needs to run through on goal, have a shot inside the box for it to be a goal scoring opportunity, because.
No, they're edge of the box, just outside if you're just unopposed with the goalie.
A big goal scoring opportunity for me. The right, Tom Sparrow was left back, Olesanya's right footed. I think he's getting back and covering it. Don't get me wrong, Alessandro's rapid and you can't really take the variables into it, but I can't remember the last time I had a goal scoring opportunity in the halfway line. That's my only thing. I think he pulls somebody down at halfway line with two recovering, no matter. I know he's flicked his leg.
But he could have been Kenny McLean.
I know, the keeper was on his goal line.
That's different.
That's my point. I think the first one's a red card. I do. I think the boy's so unfortunate. I think the slip, I think Cameron's got full control of the ball.
So you don't think the second's a red, do you?
No, I don't, honestly.
Do you think they should just stick yellows?
Yeah, I think when the referee sees it, and if you look at his position, he's got a perfect angle of it, he decides it's a yellow. I think he should have stuck with his decision.
See if the referee looked at the monitor and said, if I keep with my decision, will the Aberdeen coaching staff go mad? I think he'd tell himself no.
They might, if they compare it to Falkirk at the weekend.
Yes, but then
if that's the standard.
But then I think we'll look at the Dundee United one. That's
kind of different, though. I'm not saying, but you know, if you were looking for a comparison, you'd go Falkirk.
20 yards closer. He body checks him. And
this is the cup the other night for people who haven't seen it.
For me, that's not a red card either. And I think we are refereeing the games with them. Like, a yellow card suffices there. See if it's clear and obvious where your last man at halfway line, and you pull him back, and there's no recovering defenders. See if there's a recovering defender who maybe gets back. For me, it's a yellow card.
I think the still image makes it look like, yeah, okay, they're not getting there, they're too wide, right? But when you watch it in real time,
I'm really torn on this, I must admit.
I think the momentum and everything,
See the thing about the still behind, that's the one John McGinn was having a pop at. I do think you need the still behind. The high behind camera, that still, that is the one you need to see how wide the defenders are. It's the same with Austin Trusty. Yeah. It's the best one to see where Dane Murray is. Or is it Dane Murray? Aye. Because if you view it from the side, your depth perception's off. You can't tell how far away the defender on the far side is. However, then I think if you give too much weight to the camera behind the goal, the high, you can't actually tell that Tom Sparrow and Stephen O'Donnell, they look higher up the pitch than they actually
are. Use the both for me, and I think you're right.
But then they'll say they would have used both.
But then for me, you're faster without the ball than you are with the ball. If Olesanya kicks the ball too far, the goalkeeper's getting it. If he keeps it in
one of Motherwell fullbacks already looks at full tilt, doesn't he?
Yeah, he body checks and needs to get back up to speed. So it's not easy.
No, but they say you're meant to judge it as if Liam Gordon's no there.
I know, but you need to judge it as if...
No, but do you know what I mean? You remove Liam Gordon's existence, Olesanya's there with the ball.
But he's not at full speed either, like you said. And the two Motherwell defenders, at least one of them, are going at full speed. And you need to take two or three touches before you get to the box. Unless if he just kicks it long, the goalkeeper scoops it up. So he needs to be fully in control of the ball, which means he can't run at 100%, which means the Motherwell defenders just need to run back and stop him. For me, they're going to do that. I think Tom Sparrow, and I know you can't really take into consideration who's running. I know Olesanya is a really quick player. But for me, don't re-referee the game. Let him go on with the yellow, and I don't think there's an outrage.
I've got two sort of issues that I think are something that we need to
address.
Yeah, because that's now happening a lot. So if you want to talk Trusty plus the weekend Falkirk Henderson plus Motherwell, there's a theme there in that all three are yellows on field upgraded. So are we seeing refs aren't able to judge denying obvious goal scoring opportunities like that on the pitch? Is it too hard? Is it that you need this big wide view? Because it seems like that I don't think that's helping, because as you say, there's in this problem with VAR and re-referee or getting involved.
Are we flipping it, saying that refs are getting put under pressure because they're sent to the monitor to have a look?
I think.
And
right
then
there.
The other one is the first part of, and by the way, spoiler alert, the VAR review that I do with Willie Collum has actually been recorded this week already, and it goes out tomorrow night. I think I'm allowed to say that. Forgive me if I'm not. The first thing you're meant to take into consideration on these is distance from goal. Now, there's loads of things covering defenders. Is the ball on the ground? Is the ball or in the air? There's loads. But if the distance from goal is being taken into account, what would it take for the officials to say he's too far from goal? Yeah?
Yeah.
Because if Olesanya is not too far from goal, and if Max Waters at the weekend is not too far from goal, this is a genuine question, where do you need to be to be too far from goal?
I think
because you'll not get many attacks
own half,
in your own half. So I don't know, but maybe that's one that, like I say, at least in fairness, there is a consistency there. I think the Falkirk and the Motherwell ones are very similar.
Consistently wrong at the moment
for you, yeah. That's,
but for me, it's not the fact that I feel they're not red cards. I feel they're harsh, but for me, to upgrade that for a yellow to a red, it needs to go to the screen and go, I've got that wrong. I've fully got that wrong. And I don't think John Beaton's went to that screen last night and went, that is a bad decision.
It's funny, right? Because I kind of agree in the sense that, look, because the refs, obviously, rules are rules. They apply the laws of the game. I don't think there's a huge uproar today if that stays yellow. I can't imagine it. I could be wrong.
100%.
I can't imagine.
Ask yourself the question.
I can't imagine fans of all other teams, like they can have been on social media, jumping on this today and saying, that's a disgraceful yellow. I can't imagine that. I don't know. That's a vibes thing. That's not the rules.
Totally agree with you. I think he should ask himself the questions when he goes, and I know it's not as easy as that. If I keep this at a yellow, do the Aberdeen coaching staff go crazy? I think no,
because they might go look at Falkirk at the weekend.
I know, but then you go, I think that was wrong with Falkirk.
But they don't think that's wrong.
But John Beaton, for me, if he's refereeing, and I think John Beaton's a good referee, by the way, should say, I don't agree with that decision. I think a yellow's enough. And is when he gives you a yellow card, goes to the monitor and goes, I don't really think that's a clear red, so I'm just going to go yellow and I'm just going to continue the game.
Well, anyway, Wilbur, you've lit a fuse. You feel hard done by, though. Does it feel like a sore one to take?
I feel as though both of them were sore ones to take, although I felt Liam Gordon's was more for a red card because I think he lifts his leg.
I know, but you're not getting a red for that, though. You know, that's not like a... It's not
action,
you know.
Listening to you guys and seeing what's been said elsewhere on social media and stuff, I think two yellows would have been fine. It would have kept the game going. It would have kept the game alive for us. Whether that's fair in Aberdeen or not is another debate. But I was going to say, you now tell me that Willie Colum's and you have recorded your programme, but I think he needs to change the way he speaks to us, the supporters. It's like sitting in a law lecture, you know, it's dry, dry stuff. And it's, I think the game's been made too complicated.
I wouldn't like to hear his stand-up routine, to be fair. I think it needs to be communicated. Listen,
Willie's brilliant.
I'm bound to say this, right? I think he communicates pretty well.
Brilliant. Yeah. That's refreshing, this new... I know it's relatively new, what he's done. He comes out and... Willie Colum's not scared to throw somebody under the bus and say they're wrong. And he's straight to the point. As a referee, whenever you used to have him in the games, he used to tell you to go away because he's like, that's what I've gave and that is it. He would be respectful, but he always backs his decision, and I think he's communicating well with us.
Let's bring in Stephen as well, because Stephen's also a Motherwell fan. Are you more in... Are you hung up on the refereeing decision, Stephen? What about your team and some of the team selections and stuff?
Yeah, but thanks for taking my call, Gordon and Tony.
Pleasure.
First time caller. I was at the game last night.
Long way to go for that, Stephen.
Long way to go, yep, 100%. On the bus, we're a wee bit disappointed with team selection for the manager, to be fair, to start with. Goalkeeper, for instance, and five first team starters on the bench. In our opinion, we're going up here with the odds if we're going to go to this cup final. Good chance of winning it. And the wrong team out altogether. To me, the first red card was self-inflicted with the goalkeeper for the error of the pass. A stone bowler has a red card, in my opinion. And red Aberdeen one, stone bowler going for the red card. And totally agree with that. Yellow card for obviously, should have stopped his decision for the what he done. But that was like Liam Gordon, I know, trying to play out for the back and get caught with the ball. Self-inflicted, in my opinion. So I know where I'm talking, but we've had a great season, great manager. I hear a lot of people want to take him away, but I thought his decisions last night, the leave players left out, was a wee bit, for all the fans that travelled up there last night, I was a wee bit taken aback with it.
But Stephen,
was it one of Jens Bertolasco's first missteps as Motherwell manager?
Yeah, because he's lost and he's out of the cup and he can't retrieve
that's
it.
That's quite
okay.
A big deal.
Yeah, but I sort of are still backing the manager because...
But Stephen's not backing him. He's just saying he thinks he got it wrong.
Right. He got it right. Of course he got it wrong because he lost, right? But he's a manager that very... He does this quite a lot. He makes five changes. He'll make seven changes. And nobody complains when they win, right? Nobody's complaining when they're still playing attractive football and they win. You're right. The goalkeeper made a mistake last night.
And that's
just the way it happens, right?
That's after that's quite a big change, isn't it? That's not... And that's not... Matty Connolly actually went on and had a decent game after. And Jens Bertolasco has backed him, you know, and kind of doubled down on it. That's quite a big change, isn't it? You know, it's teams like Motherwell don't often go down the cup goalie route with a kind of young keeper at this stage.
Yeah, but I still believe that he's earned. See if he's one of these guys that has played that strong team week in, week out when we possibly could. I would have sat up last night and went, oh, surprise, right? Motherwell have had a lot of games, Gordon. Yeah. Midweek games against Rangers as well. Difficult games. Game against Aberdeen as well. Then they travel up there. It was always going to be difficult. The conditions were difficult with the wind and everything. Yeah, the big question mark is, why did they change a goalkeeper, right? Because I don't think you need to change a goalkeeper. I don't like this. We'll play this goalkeeper in the cup.
Because sometimes if you've got a real established number two and you feel you need to give him...
But here's the question, right? If they got to the cup final, they'd play their number one goalkeeper probably, right? So yeah. I think that was the only question mark for me. Yes, there was one or two of the big hitters, not, but that's happened before. Right, that's happened before, and they've still went on, produced the goods. Look, people will look at that because they get put out the cup and they can't retrieve it. It's not like the league campaign where the next game at the weekend they could go and win. Everybody forgets about that. I was the same. I penciled in 23rd of May celebration night on Airbus Road, but unfortunately it's not going to happen.
Were you surprised though when you saw the team? Because he has made changes. It just felt... It felt bigger or more dramatic than normal. I don't know, maybe I'm over-exaggerating.
You know, hindsight's a beautiful thing, isn't it? I think...
That's the thing, Stephen called it before the game.
Yeah, Matty Connolly got the opportunity against Ross County, and by all accounts, I never seen the game. We had one at the same time, I'm sure. By all accounts, he'd done really well. I think he's just signed a new deal. Maybe because it was Premiership opponents, he could have changed and went a bit stronger, but...
So you don't think he underestimated Aberdeen?
No, I don't think he did. I think he's just been used to it, and I think he seems like a fair guy, obviously.
Here's a quick point. Seeing it went 10v10, Motherwell far a better team.
I know, and that is the thing. That's the bit where I feel a little bit sorry, because if we've just said that Oscar Priestman's is correct, but is the unluckiest red card of all time...
Yeah.
It's after 3 minutes.
Exactly.
So then you don't really get time to tell
And you get punished from the free kick.
Yeah.
Right, so all of a sudden it's a double whammy for you. But when it went down to 10v10, I think everybody's looking, Motherwell got to get back in this.
Motherwell even kept the ball quite well.
They're brilliant.
Exactly.
But you don't get trophies for that.
No, I don't. Anyway. And I know why Motherwell fans are disappointed.
Thank you to Stephen. Tomorrow is the big day. £475,000 up for grabs. So let me tell you all about it. Grade one. Text yes to 61025. Text are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll find all the rules there for this network competition. Or you can also call 03434 269340. Calls charged at a standard rate. Over 18s only. Clock is ticking. It's 5 p.m. tomorrow. Be quick. £475,000 up for grabs. So text yes to 61025.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Tony Watt and Gordon Diel are here. Keep the calls coming. We are about to go to Celtic Park right now and give you the team news with Gabriel.
Yes, Gordon, three changes for Celtic from the Kilmarnock match at the weekend. Tate, Adamu and Yang dropped to the bench in Combinado, Tunetti and Chvanchara. A first European game for Julian Araujo, who of course joined in January. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain is not involved as he's not in the European squad. So the team is as follows. Kasper Schmeichel in goal, Julian Araujo, Austin Trusty, Liam Scales and Kieran Tierney as the back four. Captain Callum McGregor, Benjamin Negrin and Paolo Bernardo, the midfield three. Seb Tunecti, Dyson Maida will be the wingers, with Thomas Chvanchara through the middle. The substitutes, Sinisalo, Duhan, McCowan, Sirachi, Murray, Forrest, Donovan, Adamu, Yang, Iheanacho, Hatate and Ralston. The Stuttgart lineup is out as well. A few German internationals in there to keep an eye out for, such as Dennis Undav and Andreas Stiller.
Right, give us your thoughts, Celtic fans, right now. What do you make of that team? Is that the right one for you? I think Reese is on the line. How are you, Reese?
I'm good, how are you?
Not bad, Reese. Are you going to the game tonight, watching it? What's the plan?
Me and my mates are going to the game tonight to watch it.
What are you thinking?
I've seen the lineup, and it's pretty interesting, to be fair, that Paolo Bernardo started. I thought it was a toss up between Rio Hatate and Luke McCowan, but I'm a fan of Bernardo, so hopefully he kind of shows up tonight.
What does this say about where Rio Hatate is at the moment, Reese?
I feel as though him and maybe Dyson Maeda are both kind of on their way out of Celtic, maybe throwing toys at his pram a wee bit, but there's obviously a good player in there. It's just trying to get him out.
Yeah, Gordon and Tony, the Paolo Bernardo one, as Reece alluded to, I think that was the big decision that had to be made there. I had a quick look. He has started two games since January. Since the turn of the year.
Yeah.
That might sound recent, but Celtic have played 11 times since then. So in those 11, he started twice. One was against Auchinleck Talbot, and the other was Dundee in the cup, where he got hooked at half time. Mm-hmm. So that's not a lot of significant game time for Paolo Bernardo. Does that surprise you? Or is Hitati just, is he gone?
What it tells me, I think Martin O'Neill's probably looking at Hitati and he's frustrated with him, because everybody knows a talented lad he is. He's a brilliant footballer when he's on top of his game. But I think all Celtic fans are now coming out with this. Listen, he's playing his ticket now. He wants out of Celtic Park. He wants to leave. I think Martin O'Neill might know that behind the scenes. So he's went with Bernardo. If I was picking between Luke McCown and Bernardo, I think Bernardo is a better technical player for me. I know that he's not had a good run.
Is it that, or is it a physicality in Europe?
I think he's a better footballer, Bernardo, I've got to say. I do like Bernardo, but he's not really had that continuous run in the team for weeks upon weeks upon weeks. He's always in and out, as you said there, since January.
Mostly out, though, at the moment.
Two games, but Martin O'Neill will be looking for a big game out of him tonight. And I think he's one of these guys that, on his day, he is a very, very talented player. Yeah, I like him. But he's not producing it. So it must have been a wee bit of a headache for Martin O'Neill, because he's probably looked at the three of them and he could have probably picked any of the three.
Yeah. What do you think? Because, you know, I think there is a Celtic fan still quite like the idea of Bernardo. There has to be a reason now that you're kind of manager after manager. We just don't see much of him.
Yeah, I've got a lot of sympathy with Bernardo. I think he got bought when Brendan Rodgers was the manager, if I'm correct. And Brendan Rodgers went through a period where he wasn't really playing the players he signed. It was a strange one. And Bernardo's not really had a run of games probably in the last 6 to 8 months. And I think it's hard as a footballer when you've not got match practice, when you've not played games, especially in the middle of the park for Celtic, who throw obviously a lot of players forward and leave you kind of isolated if he's playing the six or if he's coming back with McGregor. I think McGregor needs a partner in there at the moment. I think he's been left too isolated, and I think Bernardo's profile is probably what gets him ahead of McCown in the team. McCown's more a number eight who'll get forward, whereas Bernardo could probably sit and plug gaps. And yeah, I think it helps him on a European night to allow Negrin to go forward, because for me, Negrin's not a centre mid.
How do you feel about Europe, Reece, this season and with everything going on?
I feel as though the wins away to Feyenoord and then the draw away to Bologna was like really encouraging, especially the fact that Martin O'Neill was in charge for both of them games. So I feel as though you're always up against a strong German side tonight, but you've got to back yourself. It's almost like if you don't go and try and win the game, then there's not much point being in a competition.
Yeah, and I think it is as strong a team as Celtic could have picked, isn't it? It's not, nobody's been rested there.
No, it's a positive side. Obviously, you look at that front three as well. I'll tell you what, Maeda is quite lucky to be in. I think Yang now, I know Hugh will be throwing things at the radio just now when he's listening to this, but I think at Celtic Park, he's been decent at times, and I think he's a threat, and when he's positive and he can get you a goal, we've seen that against Rangers as well. Maeda is certainly the better player, let's not be kiddied here, but he's another one that showed absolutely no form at all.
Based on this season, is Maeda a better player?
I get back to it, yes he is. And is Hitati a better player than the other midfield player? Yes he is, but the problem is they're not showing it, so Martin O'Neill's got to make big decisions.
Reece, enjoy the game if you can. We've got a game of our own to take care of. Tony gets excited about these.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You're right into Beat the Pundit, aren't you?
I love Beat the Pundit.
Do you like playing it?
I can't explain how much I love it.
Do you like playing?
I love playing it.
The enthusiasm of this guy.
I think it's the best thing on TV and radio.
It's quite high praise, even I would have to admit. Right, 01419511025. Beat the pundit time. You're taking on the most excitable pundit in the country, or Gordon DL. And the lines close at 7.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Tony Watt and Gordon DL are here, so give us a call, please. 01419511025. We've had a nice debate about the refereeing decisions at Pittodrie last night. We're giving it the big build up at Celtic Park. The team news is out. It's a fairly predictable team for Celtic, although Paolo Bernardo gets the nod in midfield at the moment. I don't know if that surprises you or not. Rio Hatate is on the bench. Daizen Maeda keeps his place in the team. Tonetke comes in. Javanchara leads the line. So what do you make of that, Celtic fans? Are you heading along tonight? Are you optimistic? Are you pessimistic? And how much do you care ultimately about Europe at the moment, given the title race is so all consuming and you've got work to do there? What about this ticket allocation? That's usually a hot topic on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 7,500 fans, Celtic fans, going to make their way to the Broomlow end at Ibrox for the cup tie to both sides. What do you make of it? Give us a call and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. We just found out that Tony Watt loves Beat the Pundit more than anyone on this planet. So that's a nice revelation for tonight. I'm glad he's excited about it. Gordon DL doesn't quite get so into it. Craig and Liam are in Kirkintilloch. How's it going, Craig and Liam?
Hi, all good. How are you?
Oh, nah.
Two of them.
No, off he's go, off he's pop.
This stuff's getting old. Just get on with it.
Lisa,
I beat five last time.
Why two?
Because they're together.
Okay, we only need the one of you to beat you, the Dazzler.
Well, send the other one away. Oh, I tell you what, you better win.
They're confident.
Oh, the better one.
Confident.
Tell you that. Two dumpties.
Right, anyway, the blue side of the coin will be Tony Watt. The red side will be Gordon DL. So let's see what we've got. I hope it's him. Look at him. Is as well. Oh, I've got my wish.
Oh, that's a surprise. I know the way you toss a coin. How high
he's played the last few weeks?
I played Tuesday. Start on -1.
You two want to start on -1?
No.
Are you that good?
These two got a duck egg.
I think so.
Honestly, you can just tell.
No, the confidence. I think 4 or 5 for them.
Mm-hmm. Not a chance. Listen to them.
Right. Let's give Gordon DL something else to listen to. Craig and Liam, 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer. Please don't each shout out something different at me. I've not got the concentration span for that. 30 seconds then, going on the clock, and your time starts now. Name either of Celtic's top Europa League scorers this season.
Maeda.
Who did Rangers beat in the Scottish Cup final May 2022?
Hearts.
Which British side won in the Champions League last night?
In Newcastle.
Which football position translates as Stürmer in German?
Striker.
Who did Jim Goodwin replace as Dundee United manager?
Liam Fox.
Who had more Scotland caps, Stephen Presley or Paul Hartley?
Paul Hartley.
Ready?
They're either good or the two of them are hopeless. I can tell the way you're smiling.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time, same questions, starts now. Name either of Celtic's top scorers in the Europa League this season.
Nigan.
Who did Rangers beat in the Scottish Cup final in May 2022?
Hearts.
Which British side won in the Champions League last night?
Newcastle.
Which football position translates as Stürmer in German?
Striker.
Who did Jim Goodwin replace as Dundee United manager?
Pask. I can't remember.
Who had more Scotland caps, Stephen Presley or Paul Hartley?
Paul Hartley.
Okay. It's a good game, by the way.
Aye, that's going to be close.
What do you think, you two?
I think we've took it. Oh, I've took it.
What do you mean you've took it?
He's taking credit for it. He's forgetting his mate. So they were good. I thought they two were good, right? I'll be honest, that's what my smile was. But then you were much better than I thought you were going to be. You're usually hopeless.
Like, shut up, you.
9 games on the autumn.
Where are you two?
Sitting in the forge waiting to go to the game.
Are you? I'm about to see you in about 10 minutes. Any more of your lip?
Let's go through them and find out. Name either of Celtic's top scorers in the Europa League this season. Craig and Liam went for Daizen Maeda. You went for Benjamin Nygren. Gordon DL strikes first. Negrin and Hatate. We've just been saying, I get him out of the team.
Aye, big Celtic supporters used to, eh? If Germany used to.
They've both got three loads of Stuttgart fans in town today, yeah, I noticed. Seen them. Loads. Anyway, three goals each for Hatate and Negrin. 1-0 Gordon DL. Rangers beat Hearts in the cup final. You both got it right. Newcastle beat Karabag last night. You both got that right. Stürmer is striker in German. You both got that right. So Gordon DL stays with one in front.
This is tiebreaker written all over it.
Who did Jim Goodwin replace as Dundee United manager?
I still can't get that.
Liam Fox, and those two got it. That was outstanding. Oh, that's a hard
I'll
question.
Give you that, boys.
That is outstanding.
I'll give you that.
So they're one in front. No, level. Which means a bit of a spoiler, anticlimactic, doesn't matter. Who had more Scotland caps, Presley or Hartley? You both said Hartley. You were both wrong. Stephen Presley's got 32 to Paul Hartley's 25. And we go to a tiebreaker.
Boys, 100. I always go 100. It's up to yourselves.
This is the third tiebreaker in a row this week.
I got a tiebreaker Tuesday.
We had one last night as well.
And I went 100 and I won.
Remarkable. Right, okay. See what you fancy for this one. I'm going to look for a quick response from both of you here, right? Don't want to end up counting it up. How many full months have passed between Celtic's last game against Stuttgart and today? How many months between Celtic's last game against Stuttgart and today? Write it down, please. Okay, what are you going for, Craig and Liam?
I don't know.
Quick. 114.
Okay, 114 versus
186.
You put.
No, it's more than that. Was it 2003?
Yeah, so it's a long time ago.
Why did I not just go big?
I know. I so you actually knew the year, Stuttgart, and you've still given me 86 months.
Stuttgart beat them 3-2.
These guys weren't even born.
Stuttgart beat them 3-2.
Sean Maloney scored at home, didn't he? In the anyway. It's 275, which means Craig and Liam have done you. They were rubbish at the tiebreaker, but they were still closer than you. Well done, gentlemen.
Do you know, I thought that was... I knew well it was 2000... Well, oh, shut up, not even talking to you, Steve. Not interested in you.
Well done, lad.
That's even worse, though, right?
See if you catch a cold.
See if...
I've already got it.
See if you said you didn't know the last time they played Stuttgart. That would be understandable. But to know that it was 2003 and think that that was
score.
86 months ago...
No, but I thought there was a wee one in the middle.
You're getting the ball anyway, unless you want the signed coin.
I'll pass on that.
It's not a signed coin, it's just a coin. Signed ball. Right, what are you thinking about the game tonight once you get out of the car and going?
I don't know a lot about Stuttgart, so on paper I would say they would win, but I don't know. At the moment you don't know what Celtic are showing up, so... I don't know.
You obviously care enough to go on a miserable night, but what does Europe mean to you this season, the kind of the way things are?
I would personally rather sack it off and focus in the league, but I don't know.
I wouldn't. They need to progress in Europe as well. They can't just throw that away. You mean, like, they're trying to kind of make a stamp in Europe. We're trying to be playing Champions League, so we can't throw away Europa League.
I know, that's the thing, Gordon. You've got these, like, sort of standards and... Everyone wants to progress in Europe. There's financial benefits, there's coefficient benefits, there's all sorts of people talk about momentum. You know, if you can win brilliantly against Stuttgart, can that then give you an impetus to go and be better domestically? Because, you know, you feel good about yourself, you're improving, there's so much there. You've also got that, I don't know, Callum McGregor gets injured tonight, I guarantee we get phone calls. This is ridiculous. Oh, who cares about Europe? And he's injured, and now we don't have him for the running. It's just, Celtic find themselves in a tough spot. Can we sort of agree with that?
Yeah, and I can understand why some supporters think sack it off, and
that's the thing. You're not going to do that. Either, are you?
I don't. I think if you're Celtic, you demand to be in top tournaments. You want to be in Europe. Everybody talks about Champions League. Unfortunately, they're not there. They're in the Europa League. They're at home tonight. I think you've got to take every competition. That's what Celtic are built on. So are Rangers. That's what they're there for. I know that the squad just now, because of the transfer windows, haven't been that great. But in days gone by, if Hearts and Rangers weren't in this league chase title campaign this season, Celtic fans would be over the moon going here tonight and thinking, what a great chance we've got to progress.
Mm. You ever played in any big nights in Europe for Celtic? Nah, never mind. Right.
Oh,
thank you to Craig and Liam in Kirkintilloch, well, from Kirkintilloch at the Forge, and going to get a signed ball to them as well. Well done, gentlemen.
Cheers, guys.
Tucked you away there.
I should have done
that. Tucked you away there.
I don't know why I fall into the trap that. See, no, you actually done me, right?
Oh, that's right. Okay, I might have known.
I'll tell you how.
Okay, I'm all
when
yours.
You said you need to give me a quick answer because I don't want you counting up. Uh-huh. And I'm thinking, well, it can't be a lot because I thought the last game was 2003. So I'm thinking, oh, he's gone probably the last 3 or 4
does
years.
That, Tony, does that sound like my fault to you?
Do you agree
no,
with that, Tone?
No, it doesn't, unfortunately.
Because I thought even at a push, see, even if you couldn't quite, you didn't want to count it, you would go roughly 20 years ago. You would just do that, yeah. Boom, 20, yeah, and then you would just...
12. But I seen something last night, and I thought it was 2013, the last game, so...
No,
I
2003.
I just went minus 10 years.
I even know 12. The score, 3-2.
Stuttgart. Told you.
No, he didn't. I told him.
Where was that? In, over there?
Stuttgart, yeah. 3-2.
3-1 at home, no?
I don't know what was at home, but
Sean Maloney scored.
They could beat 3-2.
Was that in the road to Seville?
Yeah.
Was that early rounds?
I can't. By the way, I'll tell you another thing. I don't care what you say. Next year, new rules. VAR's out. They can't play single
they
against
can,
single.
They can. Yeah, this is boring, this stuff. You're arguing about this every week.
But it's a double whammy against you.
There's only one of them answered.
No, it's not. You heard the other one shout.
He was just trying to take the credit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's driving. He's steering.
Right. 0141 951 1025. Declan is also a Celtic fan. Declan, what are you thinking about tonight? What does the team news mean to you?
I was pretty shocked to see Bernardo. I actually could have done a job in there. But
you didn't phone last night, did you? No, was that somebody else?
No.
I'm surprised at this. With no offence to Sarachi, I did not expect two calls in the same week to say that he should have played in midfield.
Has he ever played there?
No, well, possibly. Not Celtic or any time I've been. What makes you say that, Declan?
I think he's just got an injury on him and he's physical. He's just too physical. I know Bernardo has got his traits to him, but Sarachi's played more. He's going to be more game fit and sharp. I think if you just put him in where Callum McGregor normally is, push Callum McGregor up a wee bit, he'd have done the job.
See, when that happens, Tony, would that be an admission that your midfield department is an absolute mess?
Yeah.
If you, because I know Hitati's not in form, Bernardo's not played a lot, look, McCowan's still there. See if you pick Sarachi ahead of all of them out of position. Is that like...
I think you lose a couple of players. I think Hitati can't have any gripes. He comes off at half time. They win the game, so he can't go into Martin O'Neill's office and say anything. Bringing Bernardo in, who hasn't had a chance, he'll probably be a good trainer. He's came from where Benfica. He's done well under Rodgers. He's stayed the course. He's never really been flogged out. So, but when you start putting players in different positions in your position, then you can have a bit of gripe. Imagine somebody, a left back, started to strike in front of you. What's the first thing you're doing?
I'd go play left back.
I would personally have a word and say, look, that's incredible. And I think, as I said, and I think it's horses for courses, and I think in Europe a wee bit more protection at the back four, and it helps McGregor out. So I think Bernardo in there's probably a bit of a masterstroke for Martin O'Neill.
What do you make of Rio Hitati currently, Declan, that we're now in a scenario where, you know, he can't start these games or isn't chosen to start these games even when Arne Engels isn't fit?
I think he's thrown the toys at the pram. He's just not been at it. I'd also think tonight, if he gets on, we get to see against a top class midfielder still on that. But I think, see, if we win the night, I reckon we could go on and win the full competition. That's a solid, solid team.
Listen, Declan's gone from Sarachi midfield to winning the full competition for Celtic.
Yeah.
So there's some big teams still in, isn't
there? Oh, there's some big teams.
Martin O'Neill's been to the final before. He knows what it takes.
Yeah, but he had a different squad the last time he went to the final, to be honest with you. So, look, it's not with it.
Declan, you phone him back and put him in his place if Celtic make it to the final.
There's not a chance, Declan. Good, nip round to the Forge and join up with A2.
If we make the final, I'll personally come down to the studios, Dazzler, and I want my horn shook by you.
Mate, see if you reach the final, I'll come to your house and shake your hand. There you go.
It's funny, that started off, that sounded quite threatening, didn't it?
Yeah.
I'll come down to that studio and I'll shake your hand. Listen, it's good to aim to aim high. Hindsight and all that stuff, if you know Arne Engels is going to get injured, which you don't, I did always kind of wonder at the time. I don't know on whose part it was, whether Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain was waiting on other options. What's it? It just, I did always wonder at the time, because he was a free agent, why was that deal not done a day earlier? And then you're allowed to register him. Again, it's hindsight, because we now know that he's maybe up to speed a bit more than people thought. You know, people maybe thought it would have taken a bit longer. It looks like it hasn't. But I did often wonder at the time, as a free agent, can you do it earlier? I know you'd need to leave someone else out your Europa League squad, but you could be doing with him now.
Yeah, you need to get him in and you need to get him registered. And I think it's proven to be a bit of a mistake, because even off the bench, he would have been a good option. He showed that the weekend, and he scored the week before as well. I think whoever's not got him in and got him up in the building the day before, they need to really, really
like
question
why. Like I said, there might be a reason for it.
I don't know. It could be maybe he had another offer for somewhere, but...
But I think he was... That was what Martin O'Neill said when he signed. He's disappointed that he can't play in
Europe.
Yeah,
I think maybe they just didn't see it long term, in terms of he didn't look ahead for it. But,
and like I say, you don't know Engels is going to get injured at this point.
Yeah, and...
So you're maybe stacked in that area, whereas you almost need to put...
Are Celtic stacked in midfield?
No,
because
you can only add three at that point, right? So Aruko had to go into the Europa League squad.
Because
Chivantura had to go in.
So you need one more. And who went in? Adamu.
Mm-hmm.
And probably he needed to go in as well, because Celtic didn't really have a recognised striker, and you can't just register one in Chivantura. So I think the three that they've added is fair, but obviously hindsight, like we keep saying, Oxlade-Chamberlain would have been perfect for a night like tonight.
Ian Acho is—he's on the bench, Gordon. I think there are real fitness or durability issues there. Because I think Celtic fans kind of liked what they saw when he was fit.
Well, he's got good ability. There's no doubt about that. You're right. I think the Celtic fans did buy into him when he was fit. Maybe it is just that fitness thing with him. You look at even tonight; he could be a threat coming off the bench for you. So it's a good threat to have, but it'll be interesting to see. But I think Chamberlain will certainly start at the weekend against Hibs.
Thank you, Declan, who's going to come down to that studio and shake your hand. Thank you very much. We'll keep an eye on that prediction from Declan over the next couple of weeks. Good time to call, though, 01419511025, and we will speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Getting closer to kick off at Celtic Park for the visit of Stuttgart, so keep your thoughts coming there, please. 01419511025. We're about to speak to Eric, but I've got a full time teaser for you first. So let's set that up.
The full time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion, or renovation.
I think this is going to be easy for you. Well, it's 10 answers though. Thanks to Brandon and Knightswood. He's put a lot of thought into this, Brandon. Keep up with this. The Premier League darts comes to Glasgow tonight. Okay. Only 5 countries have produced PDC World Champions: Scotland, England, Wales, Canada, Netherlands. And that's a lot of information for you.
Right.
Since 1999, can you name the top scoring Celtic player and the top scoring Rangers player from each of those nations?
Right, Scotland.
So you're looking for the top scoring Scot for Celtic and Rangers since 1999. Same for England, Wales, Canada and the Netherlands. So
Griffiths.
10 answers. Griffiths is correct. Well done.
Right, hold on, Canada.
Scott Arfield?
For Rangers, Canadians, yes.
Scotland, England, Canada.
Netherlands,
right.
And Wales.
Griffiths.
So you've got the Scotsman at Celtic and you've got the Canadian at Rangers.
Since when?
1999.
Well, Joe Ledley, but he didn't score.
Oh, James Tavernier.
Yes. Easily. In fact, he's got more goals than anybody on this list, right. I think. Go on, one more guess and we'll wrap it for now.
1999.
Since then.
Yeah, right, okay. So you
just think kind of modern era.
Yeah. No, because 99.
You know, but if they've scored all those goals
Rangers,
since then,
Rangers
the Scottish. Chances are.
I really had a number. Who's on number? Boyd.
Chris Boyd. There we go. Okay, let's leave it there. That's not bad. So I'll leave out some of the detail. It's related to the darts. We're basically looking for the top scoring Scotsman, Englishman, Welshman, Canadian and Dutchman for Celtic and for Rangers since 99. So the guys have got the Scotland angle covered. They've gone Lee Griffiths and Chris Boyd. For England, they've gone James Tavernier, still looking for the Celtic one. And for Canada, they've gone Scott Arfield, still looking for the Celtic one. So let's give them some thinking time. I think it looks like they need it. We're doing a sort of whip round of all the other topics today now at this stage in the show. But a big one, I think on another night we get way more calls on this, but everybody's maybe talking about the game tonight or refereeing decisions last night. A big one today announced that around 7,500 Celtic fans will be at Ibrox for the Scottish Cup match. So the Broomloan Road stand, it's the 8th of March, remember. Now, you are allowed to push for a full 20% allocation in the Scottish Cup. However, it's believed that Rangers were not willing to do that, and a sort of compromise has been reached, maybe with a, I don't know if a threat is the right word, but from the Scottish FA to say agree on this, or maybe it will be the 20%. So 7,500 anyway, which is far, far more than what we get in the league. So give us your reaction there. Eric will kick us off with his thoughts. Eric,
how are you doing, lads?
How are you? All right.
On, by the way, I said it's not a problem, by the way, because that's the way it was in the past. I just want to make sure that the game before is in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they don't misbehave, right? Because they have in the past, right? Because they're going to be there in the next week. So what happens if they do something wrong to proceed and damage it? If you're quite happy to go back to your house the next day to do it again.
Eric, I cannot tell you how little enthusiasm I've got for a debate over which set of fans is the most best behaved. I might be the last topic that I would want to in the kind of in the no-win stakes on this show. I don't know whether that comes into it, Gordon, whether, you know, what's happening from one week to the next. What will be different is the allocation, because one's in the league, it's way smaller in the cup. As a more general point, Eric's saying it doesn't matter to him, because that's kind of back to more what
I like it,
what it used to be.
I like it.
I think all neutrals are going to say that, though, aren't they?
Yeah, but
you're not going to meet a neutral who says that's not a good thing.
But as a person that played in that game, there's nothing better than having a big Rangers support and a big Celtic support. Okay, it's only going to be 7.5, but they're behind the goals. It'll be packed. The atmosphere will be completely different. Let's be honest about it. And I think both sets of players will thrive off that. I think it's brilliant. I think, listen, we've always said it, and I've said it for day one, and I understand the reason that obviously you've got to look after your own supporters. I've got that. But this game for me is all about the supporters as well.
I think kind of built in, there appears to be a reciprocal agreement that if Rangers are drawn at Celtic Park, Celtic would do something similar. So I don't know if that ever leads to change in the league. As Gordon said, there's then you've got these obstacles of season tickets have been sold for those areas and all that sort of stuff. But I take it you're, like I said, everybody who is sort of even remotely on the outside thinks it's good. And then even a lot of people who are Rangers and Celtic fans think it's good as well. But that's maybe where it becomes a bit more split for personal reasons.
Atmosphere wise, it's amazing, because when one team scores, you hear it go. The other team in lockdown and that, it just went silent. You don't want to hear if it's at Ibrox and Rangers concede. You don't want to hear it silent. You want to hear the other fans going crazy as well. That's what football's all about. It's all about the fans and it's all about the atmosphere. And
what was the first goal? Was it when did James Tavernier score at Celtic Park and there was no Rangers fans?
Yeah.
I thought it was the weirdest thing.
It just goes flat, and you want to hear everybody celebrate. You want to see what they call limbs nowadays. It's
doesn't know what that means.
Tops off.
That's young
limbs,
man speaking.
Everybody's arms up. You don't want to be seen.
Was it in Kyogo at the other? Then Kyogo at Ibrox.
Yeah, Tavernier mistake.
I didn't know he was. No, that's thinking Maeda. Didn't know he was.
It's amazing to see the full stand, and it's no. I think it's a great thing for the game having that many away. And even last night, I know it's different. Motherwell sending 1,000 away fans midweek to Aberdeen. The game's in a strong, strong place, and I think that only helps if away fans are lit in the stadium. And if you're getting 7,500 Ibrox, I would like to see the same thing, if not a few more, go to Celtic Park.
I remember covering that game at Celtic Park, Celtic Rangers, with no fans, and it was the worst experience. I was actually whispering. I get pulled up by Radio Clyde for whispering, and there was no fans in.
Did you think you were a golf commentator?
No, I was thinking everybody, there was about, obviously it was COVID time, and everybody spread out. I'm thinking, oh, people are, they can hear me. So I was whispering in.
The weirdest is,
it was horrendous. It's all about supporters. Yeah. I'm delighted there's 7,500 in there. I think it makes for a spectacle, and I think both sets of players will thrive off
that. And it can help the flow of the game. It can, if Celtic have a shot at that end, you hear a roar going the other end at Rangers, it can help the momentum of the game. It can really, really, and it's only good for the game. You see it at the weekend, Hearts and Rangers, the way that went was amazing. Mm-hmm. And the supporters do play a big part in that.
Eric, on a sporting, a very simple sporting angle, does this give Celtic more of a chance of winning the game, or how do you view that side of it?
Can I say one thing, right?
Sure.
Right. There was a toss of the coin one night. I think it was Watersmith, I don't think it was Liam Brady. Then the toss of the coin decided who was tossing the coin. And it was 1983, right? Who was the semi-final? It was Ibrox or Parkhead. And it went to Ibrox. So Celtic fans got the broom on and all the govern, and Rangers got the rest. And the atmosphere that night was absolutely amazing.
And that's the thing, because we've had it taken away in the last couple of years, it's going to be nice to make a lot of it, and that kind of colour and all that. And again, I get people have now got their own personal, you know, whether it's kind of their season ticket and whatever, and I don't know how you ever get over that. I don't know how you ever go back fully for league games, but this will be so different now, won't it, because of what's been missing.
It'd be brilliant. Listen, I'm telling you now, it'll even be brilliant for the new players that have never played in this game before. You know, with the fans in there, because the atmosphere is incredible.
But they are there the week before.
I know, but
with a much smaller allocation.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden they go back, and you're a Celtic player. You come out to do your warm up, and that full ends full of your own supporters. It makes such a difference, Gordon. There's no doubt about it.
Was there not a minimum? Was it 10% for the opposition fans in the league back in the day? I know it's 20 in the cup, but was it not? Should there not be a minimum for the league as well? Because
but that's, I mean, look, even to be fair, all the no, I think is it not 5?
Is it 5%?
Because if you even look at Hearts, yeah, as an example, because they've got so many of their own fans, everybody gets a small allocate apart from Hibs. They've kept the bigger allocation for the Edinburgh Derby.
Rightly so, Gordon, because I think first and foremost, your own fans, they're your bread and butter. They come every second week or whatever it may be, every home game, they follow you up and down the country. So as a club, you've got the right to look after your own supporters. But this is just a unique fixture.
Yeah.
You know, it's watched all over the world. And what makes it better is the supporters. There's no doubt about it. Some of the times you watch this game and it's dross, but it's exciting because of the atmosphere.
Yeah, agreed.
I don't know, like I said, how you make this happen, how you get over all the stumbling blocks that have now been put in place since it got cut over and over. Do you think, though, if this goes well, whatever that looks like, well, do you think we'll hear increased calls? Will the case to get this put in place for league games, do you think that will pick up? Or do you think this thing just has to stay in the cup now?
I think it just has to stay in the cup, because I said it there, I think the most important thing is your home support, your home fans. And you're not going to get Rangers now and Celtic, you know, turning around saying, well, you can buy a season ticket, but when Celtic come calling,
I mean, you used to do that, presumably.
I know they did, but I don't think they get away with it now. I really don't.
Because the thing is, Tony, if there is that kind of reciprocal thing where Rangers will expect to get the same if they go to Celtic Park in the cup, that could be a long time.
Yeah,
they haven't. There's a reason this feels new. They don't tend to play each other
for next year in the league or something.
And then that's totally different, isn't it? Different rules, different season tickets, circumstances.
Yeah, it's refreshing for me. I think that'll be a much better game to watch than the league game for that alone. Yeah, I just think it's more exciting to tune in and watch it. And like you say, the ebb and the flow of the game, like you hear a team go one up and then the atmosphere when they equalise, it gets even louder. It's just what our kind of game has been advertised on in England or abroad for a while, that unique fixture, and that's why it's played so many times a year.
Thank you very much to Eric. What about other news coming out of Rangers today? A contract extension from John Souter. What do you make of that?
Go, Tony, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, like John Souter, I played with him at Hearts. He's a very, very technical footballer. I think he was probably in a Rangers team that weren't performing, and I think he'd done well. His injuries obviously held him back a little bit, but now I think he's a steady player and I think he's a good player for Scotland as well. So no, it's a good bit of business. I seen it was only for a year though. That was a bit of
a year with an option, I think.
A weird one, because he's not, what is he, 30 years old? Maybe both sides want to test the waters next year, but I think that's a wee bit weird.
He's been getting a bit of stick for me on the show at times this season.
He has been, and I think I picked up on Tony there. I think his best performances at times have been with Scotland. I've got to say, I think he's been excellent at times with Scotland. Yeah, he's been a mixed bag, but to be fair to him, I don't think he's had that, you know, sort of a centre-half partnership week in, week out. He's starting to get it now with Fernandes, and that looks like it's promising. They've still got to obviously clean up their act a little bit because there's mistakes in them. But I think Souter, for a year and a year's option, I think that's a decent bit of business from Rangers.
What do you think? We're slowly running out of time, but still plenty of opportunity to stick your thoughts in on that one. You happy with that, Rangers fans? Give us your thoughts, please, on 01419511025. Maybe you do have some more opinions on the allocation. We will go back to Celtic Park for sure as we tick towards kickoff there. Scott is in East Kilbride. Hi, Scott.
How you doing, boys? All right?
Good. What are your thoughts tonight?
I was just talking about the allocation for Celtic.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's absolutely ideal because I'm a Rangers man, and I just think that going forward, that's what the old firm is all about. It's about making the decisions that's what makes Old Firm Derby the best derby in the world.
Mm-hmm. But see, going forward, do you think that can really catch on for the league? I mean, you say you're a Rangers fan, but what if your season ticket's in that stand for the league games? How are you going to feel now?
It's a hard one, but at the end of the day,
but you're in favour of it for the cup ultimately.
100%, because we'd expect that going to Parkhead.
Yeah, that would have to be at Gordon, even by our mad standards. If Celtic hosted Rangers in the cup next season,
got to be
and it was half that amount, no. Can you imagine the lines on here? No. I'm sick that night.
But do you know
me.
Something? How good is it refreshing for who is it? Scott's a Rangers fan, and it's quite easy to say no. Just give them the little corner, and we'll take our own support or whatever. Give them as least as many tickets as possible, but he knows, in every Rangers fan, they miss the atmosphere. Yeah. They miss that. There's no doubt about it. As much as, and I do agree, I don't think you can go back to now saying to season ticket holders, right, okay, when Celtic come calling, unfortunately, it's not in your season ticket book. You've got to look after your own supporters. The cup, for me, is completely different.
Just want to throw it on you, Scott, because these two were talking about it. Are you happy or not with John Souter's new contract?
Happy.
Happy?
I think he's absolutely phenomenal for Rangers right now. And looking at other defenders, I've always said, I don't know why we're looking elsewhere. Why not look at the Scottish game and who's there? Defenders with John Souter for us has been absolutely phenomenal this season.
Who's the next John Souter then? Who's a Scottish centre-back in the league?
They're linked with the boy Luke Graham.
He's good, isn't he?
Yeah, good player, I think. I think John Souter gets signed to be a partner with maybe a main defender like a Goldson or whatever, and now John Souter's been put into the main role, and he's probably looked at his best under Danny Rowe at times. Don't get me wrong, there's been small moments of games against Motherwell where he's maybe a yard off, but he's good on the ball, he's aggressive, he can move, and he's a decent defender. So for me, Rangers, if Fernandes goes in the summer, if they bring in somebody to go next to him, he'd probably be a good foil to help Luke Graham to navigate him through the start of his Rangers career.
Thank you, Scott, and East Kilbride. Right, you two in this teaser. It's linked to the darts. It's a link to all the different countries that have produced PDC World Champions, because Glasgow's hosting the darts tonight. So, or was it last night? Is it both?
Tonight.
Scotland, England, Wales, Canada and the Netherlands. Since 1999, we need the top scoring Celtic and Rangers player from each nation. So in Scotland, you've done it. You've got Griffiths and Boyd. For England, you've got Tavernier, but no Celtic one. For Canada, you've got Arfield, but no Celtic one. And Wales and the Netherlands still need to get up and running.
What about Van Hooydonk?
No.
What about Gary Hooper?
Gary Hooper is not the top scoring Englishman. There's another obvious one.
Oh, Sutton.
Chris Sutton.
Yeah.
Is he, that's surprised at that. Canada. Only one player, no, for AJ.
It's Alistair Johnson.
Do you know, I was thinking that and I thought, can't it be him?
Nobody else.
He's the only Canadian.
Yeah, seven goals.
Okay, we'll take that.
Another one?
Wales were struggling a little bit in here.
No, you're not a Celtic.
Come on.
Welsh Celtic?
Come on. Think back 20 years. 2003?
Aye. think 86 months ago.
Welsh?
Think.
Hartson?
Yes. We'll get the rest of the answers and back to Celtic Park when we return.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Tony Watt and Gordon Dalziel are here, final part of tonight's show. Let me mark your card for something, because we've got a great opportunity here. It's a bit of a win-win, this, because we're asking you to raise some money for children in Glasgow and the West and enjoy a night of comedy while you're at it. So Clyde One are hosting our very own pure funny comedy night at Blackfriars Basement in Glasgow, Thursday the 5th of March. The lineup is brilliant. It's got Kate Hammer, Pierce Higgins, Fudgy McFadden, and a very special guest opener, whatever that means. I'm excited to see who that is, I must say. Plus our headliner is the brilliant Susie McCabe, who won the Sir Billy Connolly Spirit of Glasgow Comedy Award in 2024. She's actually doing three shows at the King's Theatre for the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. But how good would it be to do it in that wee room, intimate crowd and all that, less than 200 people? So grab your tickets. It's £20 per person, four comedians, a guest on the night, and you're raising money for Cash for Kids as well. So Instagram, Facebook, whatever is your preferred mode, head over to Cash for Kids West on there and you can find out all the details. We will go back to Celtic Park fairly soon. What about the teaser tonight? It's quite a good one. Darts themed, sort of, very loosely. We're looking at the PDC World Champions since it's in Glasgow. They have only come from Scotland, England, Wales, Canada and the Netherlands. Why am I hearing music?
I said darts music.
Right. I thought the voices in my head were getting to me there. I've had a very stressful day.
What's happened?
You'll need to stay tuned in the future. I don't even know if I'm allowed to. I'm assuming Roger Hannah and me.
Yeah, well, I was there.
Well, you weren't, though, you left.
Yeah.
We got roped into the Andy Halliday and his pals on an open goal, made us to the hot wings.
Mm-hmm.
My head, my stomach, and
something else.
I've been in real trouble since.
Yeah.
Real, real trouble. And I'm amazed I've made it through the show. So when I heard the music starting there, I thought that was, I've never eaten something so spicy that it makes me lightheaded. How does that work?
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it?
It was disgraceful. I can't believe anybody would do that.
Big Hannah's still there eating.
For enjoyment.
He's the only guy I've seen do the Hot Wings Challenge, get a doggy bag.
I know.
I genuinely did. He's a wee bag.
Oh, did he?
Unbelievable. Anyway, so the darts music, we're looking for Welsh. Did you get one before the break?
One we got.
So was
Hartson.
Right. Who's the top scoring Welshman that's played for Rangers since 99?
Oh, we've not got him.
No.
Tony's really good
at this. Oh, we have got him. Lawrence.
No. Yeah.
Tom Lawrence. Only 12 Rangers goals, but that is enough.
Van Bronckhorst for Holland?
Nope.
What are you talking about? We've got them.
Oh, did you get them during the break? Give me one then. Give me Rangers.
The guy that
you said to me, the Boers, did you not?
No, the pundit that said that he was better than Larson.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. No, he could have been better than Larson if he hadn't got injured.
Michael Moles,
48 goals for Rangers. Right, we'll get the Celtic one. That's all you've got left before the end. We could probably squeeze in a call if it's ambitious, because we will go back to Gabriel at Celtic Park. I'll tell you, why don't we hear from Martin and Neil? That makes sense. This is what he had to say before the game.
After Michelin, we have got long odds about being here this evening. Anyway, for a start, what I've said in the past, you know, we went to Feyenoord, got a great result there, fought with 10 men for about 60 minutes in the match against Bologna. So I didn't want those games to not count for something. So we beat Utrecht and we're here, so we might as well give it a go. Stuttgart are flying at this moment. They're fourth in the Bundesliga. They're in a Champions League position. I've had a look at them, and they're obviously very strong, physical, and we've got a lot of good players playing for them. So they'll be difficult games for us, but while we're there, let's go for it.
Just go for it, he says. I think that'll be
great attitude, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think Let's kind of meet in the middle somewhere then. Celtic fans were talking about, is this a distraction? You go for it. See if Celtic can just like make a decent account of themselves over these two legs. It doesn't go to plan, they go out. They won't, because of where everybody's at with the title race, nobody will lambast them for that, will they?
No.
There's not going to be a big drama if Celtic do quite well in the two legs, slip out narrowly. That will be, I don't know if accepted is the right word.
I just think it's because of the situation in the league now that it will be accepted.
But you're never truly accepting it, are you? But you're like, it's palatable. Like.
Yeah, so there's not got to be any uproar, let's be honest about it. And you've still got two trophies that you're going for domestically. The league and obviously the Scottish Cup that we were talking about the ticket allocation. So still a lot to play for Celtic.
Now that one of the other best teams in the country in Motherwell are out, the Cup, has that opened it up for Partick Thistle?
Well, I think Partick Thistle maybe sneak into second favourites now.
So who have you got again?
St Mirren.
St Mirren will be a tough game.
Yeah, and also two, your good loanees can't play against their parent club, presumably. That doesn't.
No, they couldn't already because...
With the Cup tied?
They weren't allowed to play, and then maybe... I think O'Sheen Smith could, and then now Fraser Taylor can't.
Why could they though? You can't play against your...
No, he never played for St Mirren.
No, but I don't mean cup tied though. Against you? Against St Mirren?
Aye, they can't play that. But yeah, they were cup tied anyway. Yeah. O'Sheen Smith was cup tied. Fraser Taylor wasn't. Right. So we would only have been able to use one. Just go without
them. Is Wilson up for the cup?
Yes. We've done well in both cups this season. He likes it. I think he wants to go and... Oh, it would be brilliant to get Partick Thistle to Hampden. That'd be good for our season.
You'd go for that, would you not? Get you in the...
What are you talking semi final?
Yeah.
No, I only go to the final. So I won't be seeing you.
I want to see you up the training ground soon and we can just terrorise people together.
I've been promising Mark and Alec, but it's a bit far out the road, isn't
it? Peter's Hill?
Yeah.
And that's the windiest place on earth in the summer. Oh my. So what's it been like in the last couple of weeks?
Freezing.
See, by the way, see when it's yesterday, a low temperature and that wind hits you. Oh my days, it's horrendous. It's so high
it's
up.
It's very high.
I didn't expect it. So, summer's okay, but the winter, it's a nightmare.
Right, let's go back to Celtic Park and get a final scene setter and a reminder of the teams with Gabriel.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard coverage of the European knockout rounds with South Lanarkshire Leisure and Culture. Feel better with an all-inclusive membership. Gym, swim and more.
Take it away, Gabriel.
Yes, Gordon. Gordon getting the full build-up here. The light show, the flames, everything ready for the big game. Celtic against Stuttgart. These two teams have met before. The season that Celtic made the Europa League final with O'Neill in charge 23 years ago. They each won a leg, but Celtic were victorious on aggregate. And if they can progress over these next 7 days, fans will be dreaming of another deep run in this tournament. If there's one thing this unpredictable season of Scottish football has told us, it's to expect the unexpected. You feel Celtic have to win here tonight, though, Gordon, to have a chance of progressing in Germany next week. Let's have a look at the team then again for the host. Three changes from their game at Kilmarnock on the weekend. Schmeichel's in goal. Araujo, Trusty, Scales and Tierney, the back four. McGregor, Bernardo and Negre in the midfield three. Tunektian made it on the wings. Svanchura through the middle. I mean, the league is undoubtedly the priority for Celtic now, Gordon. But Martin O'Neill wants them to go as far as they can in this competition. He knows so well. They've had really good results under him so far on the continent. This is undoubtedly the toughest game yet, according to O'Neill. He said so himself in yesterday's press conference. The Germans have got several internationals, a highly regarded manager and pedigree. They were in the Champions League last season. They're fourth in the Bundesliga now. The German fans have been bringing noise in Glasgow city centre all day, and it's been loud in here in the away section for over an hour. But as you can hear, as you never walk alone place, this place is a special one on European nights. O'Neill knows that more than most. This is his 1,000th game in charge as a manager. Can he keep his magic run of late going? We'll find out. Kickoff, 5 minutes away.
Come on then, you two, leave us with some predictions for this evening. Celtic against Stuttgart, what are you going for?
I'm going 2-1 Stuttgart.
Oh, okay.
I'm going 2-1 Celtic.
There we go. And you've got one more answer to give me on the teaser. We are down to, can you name Celtic's top scoring Dutchman since 1999? Thanks again, by the way, to Brandon and Knightswood for sending the question, and to our new sponsors, Arcaplan Glasgow as well. Go on, put us out of misery.
No, I'll give it to this man, Celtic.
The longest name in Celtic history,
I'd imagine so.
Jan Venegora Hesselink.
Indeed, well done. Thank you very much to Tony Watt and to Gordon DL, thank you for all your calls and your tweets, and for everyone who listened. Thoroughly enjoyed that. A very busy Thursday night, and it just keeps going, because tomorrow we'll clearly react to whatever happens at Celtic Park, and then we're straight back into a big weekend as well. So enjoy the rest of your Thursday, enjoy the game if you're watching, and we will speak to you at 6 o'clock tomorrow.